4 minutes past the hour, third Friday, so we get to catch up with Sam Jensen out there in DeWitt. Sam, you guys getting a little light snow out there right now?
Yeah, just a dusting. Just a dusting.
A very fine snow, no doubt about that. Hey, we got a lot to talk about, as we do every time we visit with you. Let's get started with the 4-H news. What's happening there?
Yeah, we got our horse health workshop next week, February 20th, 6 p.m., or February 25th, 3 p.m., both take place at the Extension office. Dr. Ashley Connell is going to be leading these workshops, talking about horse health and covering vaccines and common disease identification. And then we have our annual Poultry Day taking place at the Schlecht Hatchery, February 24th from 8 to noon. They're going to be talking about poultry breeds, guidance on class placement, understanding what the 4-H judges are looking for, and you can purchase birds for your 2024 year.
Of course, that is out in Miles, Iowa, the Schlecht Hatchery, and you were saying you didn't realize there were that many different varieties of hens and chickens.
No, I had no idea. There's like a billion.
Ag and Natural Resource News is up next on the program. What's coming up, Sam?
Yeah, tomorrow is our Eagle Watch, sponsored by our Master Gardeners. So there's two locations if you're interested in taking part in the Eagle Watch or learning about eagles. The first location is Lock 13 in Fulton, and that's at 4999 Lock Road in Fulton, Illinois. Naturalists and volunteers are going to be on site with spotting scopes. Participants are encouraged to wear warm clothes and bring binoculars or your own spotting scopes, just so that there's enough to go around. And then from 9 until 2, if you want to stay inside and enjoy the warmth at the Clinton Community College, 1000 Lincoln Boulevard, Clinton, Iowa, there's going to be exhibits and educational programs. Presentations happen at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 12:30, and 1:30, and food and beverage will be available for purchase.
Okay, of course, this was to have taken place in January. It'll again be coming up tomorrow. Should be a great event. Hort in the Heartland is coming up on March 2nd, that at the Clinton County Fairgrounds. Fill us in on that, Sam.
Yeah, so that's our annual Master Gardener learning experience, but it's open to the public. That's what's important to know. Anybody can come. You don't have to be from Clinton. You don't have to be from Clinton County. You can be from Illinois or Nebraska, doesn't matter. Come on down, enjoy the morning and a little bit of the afternoon. Cost is $40. We have some really interesting sessions this year. First session is Gardening Sustainability with Glenn Drowns from the Sandhill Preservation. He'll be explaining exactly what it means to be sustainable with your gardening. Then there's going to be the History and Biodiversity of the Nahant Marsh. That's with Kinsey Nielsen. She's a natural resource manager at the Nahant Marsh, which is down in Davenport. Fun fact, there's over 1,100 species of plants and animals in Nahant Marsh. So just kind of come here and learn all about Nahant Marsh, kind of the fun stuff that's right in your backyard, basically. Then there's some, we're going to learn some trends about Midwest landscaping from Shane Mariette. He's an ag instructor with Eastern Iowa Community Colleges. And it's going to basically be an interactive Q&A about gardening, landscaping trends, and new plant cultivars that are just popping up. And then our feature presentation is Midwest Weather with Kyle Dickens, who's the KWQC meteorologist. As everybody in the Midwest knows, weather changes basically by the minute. I mean, it could be 60 degrees in the morning, and it can be 20 degrees and snowing in the afternoon. That's just how it is, and we're used to it. Kyle's going to, you know, take us on a journey seeing exactly why Midwest weather is so unique and fascinating compared to other parts of the country.
We're going to be visiting with you again on March 1st, and that'll be the day before this event. Again, cost is $40. Sounds like it's going to be a great day out there at the fairgrounds. Now, do people need to register in advance, or can they just show up that day and pay their $40?
Well, we would appreciate them registering in advance. Let me put it that way. We're not going to turn you away at the door, but we would appreciate you registering in advance, $40. And we accept credit cards, checks, cash, Yeah, we don't do Venmo yet, but yeah, credit cards, checks, and cash. And you can either mail it in, you can find the link on our website, which is extension.iastate.edu/Clinton, or you can stop into our office, which is 400 East 11th Street here in DeWitt, basically right across from the school complex in DeWitt, or right next to Dollar General, whichever you're more familiar with.
Okay, again, that'll be coming up March 2nd. Sounds like it'll be a great day. Okay, it's only February, Sam, but my garlic is coming up. What should I do?
Well, it's not a regular occurrence. It's not unusual for some foliage of the fall-planted bulbs, like garlic, to emerge a bit early during a winter warm-up, which we've just had. While in Iowa, garlic normally begins to emerge from the ground in mid-March to early April, mild winter weather can encourage premature growth. While the premature emergence of garlic foliage is undesirable, the danger is not as great as it may seem. The foliage of garlic can tolerate cold temperatures down into the 20s, so hopefully it doesn't get lower than that. And often typical winter weather, cold temperatures, and snow return, and it'll delay the growth. So a blanket of snow is especially helpful. So if it gets cold, we want the snow if you're interested in your garlic. Snow discourages additional growth and also protects the foliage from extreme growth. Once the normal winter temperatures return, it'll be beneficial to add a layer of mulch if you have some laying around, especially if there's poor snow cover. At temperatures below 20, the foliage will likely see some damage. However, even if the foliage is damaged or completely killed to the ground, the garlic will likely regrow. So that's important to know.
Very interesting. So let's get to the Spend Smart, Eat Smart portion of our program. Again, visiting with Sam Jensen with the Clinton County Extension Office. So what's happening there, Sam?
Yeah, so last time we talked about cleaning off our sink area, and we talked about cleaning off our oven. So today we're going to talk about the fridge. So first of all, go through your leftovers. Start by discarding any spoiled food and leftovers that have been in your fridge for more than 4 days. Leftovers that have been in your fridge for less than 4 days can be frozen or eaten by the fourth day. So 4 days, that's an important thing to remember. So you made something on Monday, and it's still there by Friday, toss it out on Saturday.
Okay.
Food product dates. Date markings like Best Buy or Use By dates are placed on products by food manufacturers. Except infant formulas, these dates are an indication of food quality, not food safety. So use the Food Keeper app to determine if your food items are safe or if they need to be thrown out. And then there's the two-hour rule. Food should not be unrefrigerated for more than 2 hours. If you think you'll need more than 2 hours to clean your fridge, make sure to store your food items in a cooler with ice packs. So don't be like my son a couple years ago, who ate the chicken that had been left out overnight.
Oh, no.
That was not a fun result.
I would think not, no.
So once the contents of your refrigerator have been emptied out, follow these simple steps to get your refrigerator odor-free. If you have glass shelves, allow them to warm to room temperature before washing them. The hot water could cause cold shelves to crack. Wash all shelves and drawers in a hot water mix with dish soap, then rinse using a sanitizing solution of 1 tablespoon of unscented liquid chlorine bleach per gallon of water. Wash the interior of the fridge with a paste made from equal parts of hot water and baking soda. Make sure that you also clean the door and the rubber gasket. Rinse with sanitizing solution. And leave the door open for up 15 minutes for the air to circulate. It's good to keep children out of the kitchen during this drying time to prevent any sort of accidents. So once you've cleaned your fridge, the shelves and drawers can be returned along with any food items. We recommend adding an open box of baking soda to the inside of your fridge to help absorb odors going forward.
Some great ideas, some great tips from Sam Jensen of our Clinton County Extension Office. Again, we'll be visiting with you on Friday, March the 1st. But the day before is Ladies' Day, and we're going to have Amanda in studio. I'm looking forward to catching up with her. How's she been doing?
She's been doing pretty well. We have a lot of interesting stuff going on in 4-H, as you see with the two workshops we got coming up.
Indeed. If people would like to find out more information, Sam, again, the best ways to be doing that.
Give us a call, 563-659-5125. stop by our office, 400 East 11th Street, again, right across from the school complex or next to Dollar General. And you can always visit our website anytime, any day, extension.iastate.edu/Clinton.
As always, thank you for your time. We will talk to you on March 1st. Thanks again, Sam.
Yep, thank you.